swept technique.
Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 713-780-3776. So Nick Caserio had some things to say today, met with the media, talked for like 35 minutes. I think he had a 7.5-minute opening statement. People say that Nick Caserio doesn't say anything. He says a lot. You have to definitely look between every nook and cranny, and you got to go into the weeds to find anything useful. But Nick Caserio had a lot to talk about today. Of course, big week next week, the NFL draft, the NFL draft show here on Friday. Texans with 2 second-round picks, a third. Nick Caserio said, you know, our draft history, there's a pretty good chance we're not sticking with all the picks that we currently have, because Nick Caserio, as we know, is a willing-dilling son of a gun. All right, here was Nick Caserio today. Here was the first thing that Nick Caserio said that really caught my mind and was my favorite thing that Caserio had to say.
When you go into the draft as best you can, you want to put the team in a position where if you had to go out there and play a game today, like, we'd be able to put a team on a field. So, and we feel as we sit here today, if we had to go out there and play a game, we'd be able to put a team out there and not necessarily have to rely on the draft to, let's say, add a player. Like, I think whoever we draft, I mean, hopefully they'll come in here and create a role and a niche for themselves. It's probably going to be hard to make this team or make a significant impact, and, I mean, hopefully that's a good thing.
All right, so the thing that I like about that, Blankers, You want to build your team not relying on rookies and guys that you're drafting. I love that. You know, if you're relying on rookies to come in and, you know, pay huge dividends and your team winning a bunch of football games, you probably don't have a very good roster to begin with. It's where the Texans were last year before they got Stroud and before they got Will Anderson. You want to go into that draft saying, okay, our roster's already very good. And then the other aspect that I love about it is it puts you in a position to draft the best player available.
Yeah, aside from the fact that I was very relieved they aren't going to forfeit, the first thing I took away when he said that is that he's confident in the positions that we have talked about, safety, corner, defensive tackle, to be the top three, that he's got guys that he feels confident that they don't have to go out and have an urgency to say, you know, like last year when we didn't know who was going to be playing center. And we were like, oh, God, well, they got to draft a center. So then they took Juice early and they took Patterson late. And you're like, okay, that's one where they got guys, but what if you know, the draft board had shaken out differently? Now you realize, hey, if you got to go with Henderson and Akuda at corner, so be it. If you want to go with the big F and you want to go with Settle at DT, cool. If Jimmy Ward's one of your safeties, there you go. That we could put out a team that is competitive with those guys, even if we don't draft guys for positions of need.
Yeah, to me, it sounded like we like our roster and we're not going to be – we're not going to be in a position where we have to draft a certain position because we're comfortable with the roster that we currently have today. And if we had to play football today, we feel okay with the football team we have. We don't want to be an organization that relies on rookies. And I don't either. Like, you're past that. You're a contender now. If you draft somebody really good at 42 and he beats somebody for a job, cool. That's great. It's going to boost the team. But if you're a team that's relying on rookies to come in immediately and change your franchise, that means you don't have a good roster. And it's where the Texans were, quite frankly, 365 days ago. They didn't have a good team until C.J. Stroud became the pillar on offense and Will Anderson became the pillar on defense.
Yeah, you look at teams that have tried to use that mentality, and even sometimes the highest picks that were supposed to be the most guaranteed prospects don't pan out. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes they never do. Look at what Tennessee did when they traded A.J. Brown away, and they took the kid from Arkansas that was supposed to be the plug-and-play fit, you know, right away, wide receiver one that replaces A.J. Brown, and they were still looking to replace him, so much so they had to go in free agency. Sometimes if you put your eggs in the basket of a rookie, no matter how the scouts and everybody else and the evaluators say, this guy's going to be a starter day one, if he doesn't, he can really set you back.
Yeah. Texture saying that the first thing that Nick Caserio said that grabbed my attention was, I'm no draft expert. I mean, that's just a guy being modest. Yeah. Nick Caserio's draft history has been, I think, solid, especially last year. I mean, last year he bet big and probably overspent to trade up to number three. I mean, every draft value chart would tell you that. But he nailed his assessment on Will Anderson to where he turned what looked like a bad trade and was on draft value charts into a major positive. Here's another one from Nick Caserio. This time he got snappy at a question about adding big names this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't really know what that means. I think, you know, when you put the team together, you look at the opportunities that are presented in front of you. You have X number of dollars that you have available to you, and it's all about resource allocation. So, I mean, what, Devin Singletary, was that not like a big enough name last year, I guess? So, again, we're looking for good football
players. All right, I can't listen to Nick Caserio talk more after that. Nick Caserio just compared Devin Singletary with Danielle Hunter, Stephon Diggs, and Joe Mixon. What in the world is Nick Caserio talking about? Was Devin Singletary not big enough for you? One, I wasn't looking at you to make big splashes last offseason, but let's not pretend that Devin Singletary's in the same echelon in terms of cachet as Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, and Stephon Diggs. You're talking down to people again, Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I think he a lot of times exudes, I'm the smartest guy in the room, so acknowledge me. And sometimes, you know, he gets a little
acknowledge me.
You know, you look at it and say, yeah, I mean, you're not Jim Crane. You're not looking for that one big splash. But the guys you brought in, I would throw Autry in there under the radar a little bit. But Autry was a very, very productive player. But when you take the number one rated defensive pass rusher on the board and put him on your roster, and then you get a premier wide receiver, like you said, and a guy that's been, you know, one of the better running backs in the league, it's hard to not say, hey, look, we like our haul, and yeah, they've got names, but they've got ability too.
Yeah, it annoyed me. Like, you're not comparing Devin Singletary to Danielle Hunter and Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. Of course, Nick Caserio, you have brought in bigger names this offseason than any years previously, and for you to suggest that, you know, Devin Singletary's on par with those guys is insulting everybody's intelligence. That annoyed me more than the window one did a couple of weeks ago. I guess it's been a couple of months now.
At least that window one didn't get to you.
I was just going to say, I mean, isn't this kind of par for the course for Caserio? Because this, to me, the tone and the sentiment expressed there by Caserio, the kind of pushback against a very obvious statement, is right in line with the idea of I don't know what a window is.
Yeah, well, he actually answered a question today about windows. Like, he was asked about.
How did you not give me the timestamps for that? How do we not go
with
that?
It wasn't. I mean, because I think it was DJ Bieniemy. He's like, you know, you always operate in these 2-year windows. How does it impact your draft? And then Caserio just kind of rolled with it, like, you know, blah 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 blah. It really wasn't.
I mean, that's a smoking gun, Jeremy. We could have won the case.
Well, I already won the case.
All right,
I pointed to 3 or 4 different examples where Nick Caserio's used the word window in the past. I don't know what windows are. You kidding me? And Devin Singletary's the same level of player in terms of popularity as Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, and Stephon Diggs. Come on, Caserio. I want to like you. I've defended you, Nick Caserio, and I think you're doing a great job with the roster, by the way, which is the one thing that I want the most. I can take Nick Caserio talking down to us if he builds a winning roster, and he is doing that. So I'll give him credit there.
Singleton didn't even start. Did he start?
Yeah, he was the 2. He was behind
Damian
Pierce.
He was the 2, and he never made a Pro Bowl, let alone a first-team All-Pro, and now we're talking about premier names in the game, and that's the comparison.
Blaine said, what was the question, though? It may have been warranted to be a smart, bad word. He just talked about the level of free agents that they brought in, like big name free. In fact, it was Cody Davis, and Cody Davis asked every important question in that press conference today. In fact, I tweeted it earlier after watching it. I thought Cody Davis was the best media member in that room today. Cody Davis asked 3 questions that were things that I wanted to know that were challenging questions to Nick Caserio, and then because Nick Caserio got a little bit, I don't know if he got insulted here. I don't think he got insulted.
Snippy.
Maybe it bothered him a little bit. Maybe he got hot and heavy about it, where he sound, well, Devin Singletary wasn't big enough for you? That wasn't the question. He's asking you about big-name free agents this year, and to your point, Nick Caserio, that you went out of your way to bring up to try to make him look like an idiot. No! Devin Singletary is nowhere in the same league as Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon, and Stephon Diggs. Come on, man. All right. Speaking of Joe Mixon, speaking of Stephon Diggs, Nick Caserio talked about them earlier today. What does he think about the addition of Mixon? What does he think about adding Diggs to this team? He got a little bit bothered by another Diggs question we'll get to on the other side, too. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Casario talking today about offseason matters and draft coming up next week. Lamont, why hasn't the Texans made Diggs available? He was asked that, Casario was, but he said it's not their organizational philosophy to sign, trade for a player, and then parade them around to the public. Although, didn't they do that with a couple of their free agents, like, early? Didn't they do that with Danielle Hunter?
Yeah, Hunter. I guess the easiest thing would be, well, you know, he was in town and he lives here. But at the same time, Diggs was here. I mean, he was in the building.
But they didn't do it with Mixon, right?
Yeah. Well, I heard Mixon on Texans radio on the way home one night.
Oh, did you?
So I know that he sat down with John and The Voice, Mark. So I know that he did some of that. I don't know if he did the...
that's enough.
The podium or not?
Yeah. I think that's enough. Like if you're that's you know that's behind a microphone. That's a media appearance with you know them.
If you're Casario Diggs,
said,
wouldn't
Casario
you think
said
that...
it wasn't like he said that our organizational philosophy is not to do that. So, but he kind of has. So it's a little bit of a contradiction.
But don't you think like coming off the plane or at some point? Well, I guess Berman's out of the game now. But yeah. I don't know who the next version. If it's your boy Kunkel or somebody, but somebody that would you know get Diggs. In a public spot, you don't think he'd talk?
Well, maybe Diggs has been avoiding it. You know,
yeah,
I'm sure he's been. I'm sure he's been reached out to. Like I know he's been reached out to because I trust
national
that these
media.
Guys. I think the local guys have probably reached out to his representation agents to try to get a one-on-one. But those guys get no's more than they get yeses.
Right, but I'm saying the minute the deal was announced, you don't think ESPN guys were all over it and with
probably.
All the football shows they have, someone's got to be. Trying to knock down his door.
Yeah, I bet you he's just not interested. Here was Nick Casario, though, because Nick has not talked about the Diggs trade either. He just hasn't had a media availability. Here were his first comments on the Diggs trade.
That was something like I don't think we were really anticipating. But, you know, I think I had some conversations at different points and ultimately was able to come to fruition. And we felt that, you know, it made sense for us to pursue. So, I'd say we talked to a lot of teams about a lot of different things at different points. Hopefully, you know, Steph can come in here, and Steph's been a productive player, so hopefully he can come in and help our team in some capacity.
All right, so not a whole lot there, right? We like him as the player's good. We think he's going to help us. So pretty nothing burger there, right? You didn't hear anything there?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, those first comments for Diggs, the significance of that was those were his first comments on Diggs. Other than that, really not a ton of significance, but – he was asked shortly after about Stephon Diggs as a diva, and Nick Casario got a little hot and bothered.
Number one, I don't even know what that definition means. Someone can define that for me. Again, like, we're not worried about, you know, again, we're worried about what a player does when he walks in our building. So we do our research. We talk to our players. We talk to other players all the time. We talk to our players, you know, as an example, like a lot of the guys are in the draft. And you know, we talk to those players, hey, what are your thoughts about so-and-so? What is your experience with him? So and we do our research, and then ultimately D'Amico and I sit and talk, and if we feel comfortable with the decision, then we go ahead and make the decision. Candidly, I think it's unfair to label anybody until they actually have an opportunity to walk in the building. Again, our environment's different than another environment, so we really don't know what's going on in 31 other buildings. We know what's going on in our building, so excited to have stuff here.
You can tell when Casario doesn't love a question when he gets very wordy. He got very wordy there. Mm-hmm. And again, Nick, you don't know what a diva is. Come on, man. You know what a diva is. You've been in football almost your entire life.
Yeah, I mean, he does. Again, he talks down to his audience a lot, thinking that he can say what he wants and people are just supposed to sit there and take it and believe it and move on from it when Windows and Divas and other things, we all know that we all have a pretty good recollection and idea of what those things mean, and you know how it translates to the NFL, and you've had your share of Divas on your teams that you've worked with in the past, and it's a fair question. I think what he's trying to say is there another way to word that so it's not so personal, but get over it.
He ended up answering the question. Well,
right.
This is why we don't think he's a diva. But like, oh, yeah, I don't even know what a diva is. Can you define that? And I'm a little bit sensitive by the fact that you asked me that he was a diva, and then I'm going to snap back at you, and then I'm going to answer your question. Just answer the question.
You know who said the exact same thing, though? This is almost kind of like what we talked about with the baseball card thing coming from the top down with the Astros. Why am I blinking on the Texans owner's his wife's
Hannah.
Name? Hannah. Gosh, jeez. can't believe I blanked her name. Hannah said those exact same words when a reporter brought up when they had that media availability last week about Stephon Diggs. Someone brought up the idea of Diggs being a diva, and she says, well, I don't know what that means. Does that make me a diva? Am I a diva?
Yeah, I remember that.
So, I mean, this kind of verbiage and reaction to the idea of Diggs being a diva comes from the top down. It might be a talking point with it inside the organization.
Maybe Hannah doesn't like that word, and that's the company line. We don't use that word in our organization.
I think it's possible.
It is quite possible, but yeah, I mean, I get it. He wants to be hyper protective of his new guy. You did him enough solids already by doing what you did with the contract. Just, you know, answer the question without reacting, Nick, and let's move forward.
Yeah. Here was one more, Caserio. It was a little bit more elaborate on the type of football player they're getting with Diggs.
I mean, look, he's an experienced player. He's been productive. He's instinctive. He has good hands. So, you know, our system is maybe a little bit different than the system that he was in Buffalo, but he was as productive as any, you know, player in the league. So there might be some things that we're doing maybe that are similar to maybe what he was doing in Minnesota. But, you know, good football player. We think he can help us, which is why he's here.
All right. So what did he say there that stood out to you?
He's a good football player. That's why he's here. Other than that, there's a lot of word salad going on again with Nick. Look, yeah. We all know who he was. We all hope he can be what he was in the past here. I don't know about the back of his football card, but at the same time, you know, I would like to hear him go in depth a little bit more, and he probably never will, but on the contract, the thinking, and all the things that he did.
Let's get to the contract quote, because I think it was another nothing burger on the restructure.
Yeah, every situation is different. I think we evaluate it case by case. You have discussions with the representation and the player, and ultimately you make a decision that you feel was in the best interest of the team and the organization, everybody involved, and that's why we ended up where we are.
Yeah, he told you nothing there.
He did. He told you that that's what the owner, what the player and his agent would love, and you basically decided to bow down and give him what he wanted, because I don't know how that's a good thing for the organization other than it gives you an out a little sooner.
You know, I think that's what it was. Like, we've spent so much time talking about it the next day of like, oh, why did the Texans do this? Why in the world would they do this? They're only it's $2.5 million guarantee next year. If he acts out, then you can easily get out of that, and it's not going to cost you a whole lot. But if he plays well and you want to keep him for the second year, you already have him on a reasonable deal. I think it was player agent. I think the player agent demanded this, but they didn't have to get noisy about it because Nick Caserio was willing to play ball. He was willing to do business. I don't think this came from the Texans.
Oh, I don't
either. This came from player agent.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And at the time when we talked about it, I think that they were doing him a solid right off the jump that you're right. They were, his camp was probably pushing hard for, and they saw salaries going up for, you know, the wide receiver ones, and they wanted to be in that market again, and there you go. Nick comes to the rescue and says, no problem. We were so glad to have you. Let's do this.
He was, beating around the bush when it came to Stephon Diggs. He didn't want to get into the restructure, but he talked quite a bit about the Joe Mixon trade.
Anytime a player, you know, gets released, you know, he's available. So say this situation was similar to kind of what we went through with Jason McCartney years back, you know, when I was in New England. You know, Jason was released. He was going to be on the waiver wire. You know, we kind of intercepted that release. You know, Bill and I talked about this situation. Hey, this is a player we're interested in. All right, if we're willing to give up the compensation that was associated with it, then we were able to gain Jason's services, and Jason ended up being a huge contributor on the Super Bowl winning team. So different but similar in some respects with Joe. Joe was set to be released. It was a player that, you know, we evaluated and we thought could help our team in some capacity. So, you know, to the earlier question, you know, you get on a phone, talk to the team. Hey, we'd be interested. Would you guys be willing, you know, to give up a pick? Or if we gave up a pick, would you be interested? And that's kind of how the trade was consummated. So just relative to the commitment that we made to Joe, I mean, Joe's been a productive player. He's been a pretty consistent player. We think we can help our team, and, you know, we're glad he's here, hopefully, for a few more years. So, I mean, that's, I'd say, how that all kind of sort of came together.
There you go.
He's not going to say any more, I'm sure, on why the extension and why now. And just hearing that, he has a belief that hopefully, you know, a couple more years. But I still, again, it's going to irritate me that you have him and you have him on a one-year deal, and if he performs and outperforms, then you can handle that, go down that road when you get to it. But I it drives me nuts that they did the extension when they didn't have to.
It's weird because if you look at the two trades, like, you know, trading for Mixon, if we're talking football only, Okay. Like, you can totally understand that. They missed out on their top running back option in Saquon Barkley. Singletary signed pretty quickly, so that really wasn't even a fallback option or a fallback plan. So, you from a football perspective, okay, you trade for Joe Mixon. It was a late-round draft pick. Totally understand it. But then the restructure is like, okay, well, that's curious. And then the same thing with Stephon Diggs. Like, is this future second-rounder? Is it too much for Diggs? Well, no, because he's got the second year in case he's good. And then that restructure turned into a one-year deal. So it's kind of interesting, the veterans they traded for in opposite ways. Stephon Diggs, 1 year. Joe Mixon, multi-year. Curious, questionable, and not necessarily the most friendly for the team, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, those things are going to stick with me for the foreseeable future. I don't mind the acquisitions at all. And if they're in go-for-it mode, it's exciting. And they haven't overly extended themselves. That one with the Mixon deal in particular was puzzling to me. And of course, because of the Diggs deal, you're doing them a solid, but you gave up a pretty high second-round pick. I would think the way it pans out, we don't know what Minnesota's going to do and how they're going to finish. But to me, those were two moves you did not have to make. You made the acquisitions. They make your team better. That's all great. But the other stuff, it was unnecessary.
Yeah, it's head-scratching, to say the least. All right, 713-780-ESPN. It's Thursday. It's 4:30. It's time for Bad Take Boulevard. What are the worst takes of the week that belong on Bad Take Boulevard? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
Oh, we would never tell anybody that listens to us that they're an idiot. That doesn't sound like anything we would do. What are the worst takes of the week? what is it? Slash S? That's what all the kids are doing on
for
the
sarcasm.
Social media. Yeah, slash S, which I've started doing that because people don't really get my sense of humor, which I don't have any sense of humor, so there is that. 713-780-ESPN. Worst takes you've seen this week. Here is Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller's a Hall of Famer. Great basketball player. Great shooter. One of my favorite players growing up because of the, you know, choke sign to Spike Lee. I thought that was high entertainment. Great, great television. He has an interesting strategy late in a game.
Here's things that you talk about on the bus as players. If he makes the first one, you're up three. Do you try to purposely miss the second one, knowing that they don't have any timeouts?
They have no timeouts.
And they've got to go coast to coast, because as soon as you miss it, time is going to start as soon as it's touched. Or do you just make them both, be up four, and game over? These are things that are discussed as teams.
The best thing is that he gives you the answer. He gives you the answer. Yeah. Reggie, what do you do? Do you miss the second free throw, so you're only up by three, they have to go coast to coast, hit a three to send it to overtime, or do you make the second free throw and the game is over? I don't know, Reggie. You tell me. You just did.
Well, and then to continue that thought, but take it even a step further than that, that's what coaches and teams do in film sessions and on the practice floor, not on the bus amongst players just going rogue on their own. Hey, I know coach really likes to have us make the free throws here. What if we just made one of two and took our chances, huh?
Like the take he gives will be fine if there was like 8 seconds left, right?
No, it's not.
You make them both, the game's over.
Well, no, because there, at least in that case, there would be time for multiple possessions. At the time he says it, there's 2.7 left.
Brian, if multiple possessions are left, or if there's one possession left, would you rather be up three or would you rather be up four?
No, I'm just saying it's more defensible.
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I'm trying to find a way to help Reggie out. Yeah, you're probably right.
I hope Reggie doesn't turn into Chris Webber, but that's not a good take.
Yeah, I like Reggie. I think Reggie's generally good, whereas Webber was awful.
Webber used to, when he started out, I thought he was pretty good, and he just went off a deep end.
Got a little hot takey. Yeah.
And then he just got weird. I mean, I remember the one where there's two guys talking at midcourt, and he's like, you know what they're saying right there? He's saying this. And it was so outlandish. And I'm going, how the hell do you know? And then the stuff coming out of your mouth isn't even realistic. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So, It's like saying, would you rather have more money or less money? Give me more money.
Yeah,
more money.
In that situation, they obviously only have time to get off one shot. So if you're up three, the only way you can actually leave the door open for the game to continue is if you don't make the free throw and end the game, as Reggie said.
The best thing about that is he literally said, make the second free throw and the game is over. Because, like, all the other stuff, it's like, okay, he just doesn't really have a clue of what's going on. Like, he's talking in the moment, the red light's on. He's just, like, talking out loud without really coming to a conclusion. But at the very end, oh, they make this one and the game's over. Yeah, that's what makes this an awful
thing. Probably do the one where the game's over. It's like he was talking, like his mind was buffering, like it was a bad internet connection inside his head. And his talking was ahead of the thinking.
I've heard other people suggest that. Well, they don't have any timeouts left. Well, who cares? Who cares? Get up four. Here was Darvin Ham, Lakers coach. There was some, you know, thoughts out there. I don't know who the most popular take this was. Maybe first take. I think Brian said it the other day. Darvin Ham, Lakers coach, responding to the idea, the take, that the Lakers should have lost to the Pelicans in the play-in game the other day to avoid Denver. Here was Ham after they beat the Pelicans.
There was a report of what?
It was TV talk stuff.
Saying what again?
I'd be better off if you guys lost this game to avoid
that first
play.
Insane asylum sources say.
Sure.
Nah.
It wasn't sourced. It was
okay.
It was just chatter.
Just someone that just got out of the insane asylum.
There was a
okay, I got you. Okay. Yeah, roll the dice.
They
roll
just released these people.
Yeah.
Darvin Ham didn't like the strategy. The bad take here is that the Lakers should have lost that game to the Pelicans to avoid Denver, which you're putting yourselves one game away from your season being eliminated. Who'd you say this was, Brian, that said, wasn't it Stephen A?
Yeah, it came from First Take. I don't know what member of the staff it was, but it came from First Take. I know that, actually, it went beyond First Take because Mike Greenberg spent the entire morning on Get Up talking about this theory.
He believed that it should?
Yeah, Mike Greenberg actually...
It's the most ridiculous theory ever.
Mike Greenberg, I think, was actually the chief proponent of this idea.
Doesn't shock me. I mean, you talk about just a mouthpiece for ESPN that's just annoys me. But I think Mike Greenberg is, to me, what Carl Ravitch is to Jeremy.
Oh.
Yeah, he continually annoys the hell out of me. But regardless... Especially in the NBA, and you know it's a one-and-done situation, you can have off nights. We've seen teams that are supposed to beat other teams with other teams having less than, you know, available rosters and other things. But you're telling an NBA team, lose the first one because you're going to win the second one, and then, oops, we may lose the second one and be completely out. Stupidest take ever.
Yeah, go ahead and just willingly put your back on the wall and put your season on the line. Put your basketball lives on the line willingly. I mean... This is why coaches and players think the media is stupid. It's because of ideas like this. Our livelihood and what we've been building up for all year, played 82 games, now playing game number 83. We're going to put all of that at risk to tank this game so we could potentially lose the next one in our season end because of this favorable matchup that you think may or may not be true. Like, this is why players and coaches think the media is idiots, because of this type of stuff.
No question.
All right, Mets broadcast, incredulous over the Pirates playing bunt defense. Here's how it sounded.
Warners were in against McNeil expecting a bunt. I don't think so.
I mean, did they scout these teams?
Maybe they don't. Pittsburgh, maybe they don't.
He's the five-hitter in the lineup. You're going to bunt your five-hitter?
I mean, who thinks that Jeff McNeil is going to be bunting?
Watch him bunt. I mean, it's the number five-hitter.
And a batting champion 2 years ago. And he's got a bunt, so there you go. Garrett, 1-4 on the sacrifice. Garrett, repent.
Repent.
Did you think he was going to bunt?
No.
You know what we call that, Blankers? We call that Branham foot and mouth. I am the king of that. I'll say something. I'll be confident as I always am, brash, arrogant. I'll bang on the table. I'll say it with my chest. And then immediately what I just said turns out to be wrong, and it's called Branham foot and mouth.
I remember those days. Was that Ron Darling?
Well, it was the Mets broadcast.
Well, Ron Darling's not
yet. It was definitely Keith Hernandez. I don't remember the
other.
Oh, okay,
because Darling does
those games
too.
Gary Cohen. Thorne. Gary Cohen was the other member.
Gary Thorne?
I don't think Gary Thorne's there. I don't think he works with the Mets.
Yeah, the tweet I'm looking at has Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez.
I think Thorne might be out of baseball.
He was with the Orioles, I want to say.
I don't think he's gotten a job since he left Baltimore.
Okay. All right, because I used to like him doing the play-by-play. He's good.
He was great.
Yeah, he's really good.
I loved Gary Thorne. He was old school, too. He wouldn't use the headset. He would use the
mess the hair up. Yep.
Well, I don't think he had much hair.
Well, but that's why.
he wouldn't use the headset because it would mess up his hair?
There's the bad take. A guy not using a headset because it would mess up his hair, and the guy so happens to be mostly bald.
So to just add a little to that, because the Mets thing speaks for itself, like I worked with two different guys that literally never went to the ear headset and used the stethoscope because of their hair.
That's funny.
Eddie Doucette is in the Hall of Fame. I grew up, Eddie Doucette was the voice of the Bucks. And then Eddie Doucette, we hired him in Portland when I worked for the Blazers. And Eddie was insistent. He was never going to the Sennheisers, the really high-fangled, great-sounding headsets. He was going stethoscope, hand mic, because of the dude.
Yeah, I know. I've known a couple people that do the. Well, actually, just one person, but it wasn't for hair. He just liked it better. I couldn't do it. Like I move around too much. I'm too fidgety. I have ADD. You know what people try to do now in the business to save their hair is they'll do the headset, but they'll do it where
backwards.
Yeah, they do it almost backwards. It's more like it's more like at a 90-degree angle. Like they put what's on the top of their head to the very back of their
right.
head. So it's like. You know, I don't know what you would call the top of the headset, but it's like a straight line.
Yeah,
it's
so really the band that goes across the top kind of rests on the lower back of your head as opposed to up on top.
I've noticed a lot of guys doing that. I can't do that.
I think
man.
Kevin like, Harlan's one of those guys.
Does Harlan do it?
I think so.
Because he gets call the game.
Because he gets a little fuzzy on his hair gets a little fuzzy on top if the headband hits it too many times. So I think he goes to the back of the dome.
6860. It's not as clear as you make it seem. If there's a little time left, like a second or less, then you miss the free throw and the game is over. If you make it a 4-point game, they could still go down and hit the shot and get out of it. Really depends on the time.
Not with 2.7 though.
No,
that's
like,
the problem.
And here's the thing: like if they can get a rebound and put up a shot, they can potentially tie the game. If you can make the free throw, the game is over. Why would you, even if it's a 1% chance that they can tie the game, why would you allow for that 1%
right.
chance?
And there's also, and then the second layer to that is, this isn't conversations that rando players are having on the bus after games. This is something that, unless you're Steven Silas, is worked on at practice and in film sessions and talked about throughout the year. I know they are.
I've heard players talk strategy, maybe not this specific play.
Yeah, because
they'd
be laughed off the bus.
Right, but you also know that the coaches are going to say, like I said, working with Van Gundy, he had a very adamant philosophy of he did not like to foul in situations when they were up three. Other coaches are going to let you know early in camp and throughout the year, I believe in fouling there. This is what I want you to do if we get to that situation.
Yeah. One texter here for Bad Take Boulevard 2. What about Antonio Brown, CTESPN, talking about Caitlin Clark?
I heard it was bad, but I did not hear it.
I mean, we don't know if it's a bad take or not.
I didn't hear it.
We don't know.
What was the take?
You just search CTESPN.
Okay. All right.
You know where to find at AB84. You know where to find them.
I can immediately. I already
it
can assume
like it's pretty
it
bad. Then if we're not willing to repeat it,
you know where to find them. But we don't know if it's a bad. We don't know if it's a bad take. We don't. We have no idea. Only one person has any. Well, maybe more than one. But it you know, we don't know if it's a bad take. It could be a right take. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I'm not privy to that information.
Bad take to try if you're Greg Doyle trying to date Caitlin Clark in the middle of a press conference.
Yeah, we were doing that car right there. I'm like,
I know. I can bring it up now, too. It's out there.
That was awkward. Well, we're going to play the sound on that later. One thing I will tip my cap to him for, he went to Twitter immediately afterwards like, my bad, man. I was clumsy, did not come out the way that I intended it to. I will be better. I admire that. Like, we screw up. Everybody screws up.
If he owns it, it's great. But, yeah, there was – I mean, both his questions were very awkward.
I don't think he was intending it that way. It just definitely came across that way. But, I give him credit for owning it. Like, we screw up in life, apologize, aim to do better, and that's all we can expect out of people, I think, as long as you're not, like, physically hurting people and stuff like that. All right, that does it for Bad Take Boulevard. Let's take a look at the NBA playoffs from a Rockets perspective. Who do you want to win all of these series? Who do you want to win the play-in tonight, play-in tomorrow? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You
You found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
I have one more addition to Bad Tech Boulevard from 330, which I appreciate, the troll. I'm a big fan of trolling. I enjoy it. When the Cougar faithful chanted, "Whose house? Cook's house," in the bottom of the eighth, followed up by the horn scoring 8 runs in the top of the ninth. Hook 'em. There you go. Whose house? Cook's house. Yeah, that he's referring to when Texas beat Houston in baseball Sunday. Houston was up by 3, top of the ninth, and Texas scored 8 runs, which I appreciate the troll. Tip my cap to the troll.
You mean Monday's car wreck of the day nominee?
Was it?
Yeah, you don't remember that?
I don't know. I like to forget about those
things. You blocked
that out
super quick.
Out of mind. I'm pretty good about compartmentalizing things.
I think there's one of the days Joel took off a couple minutes early, but I played, without Jeremy knowing, I played the Longhorn call.
No, I was there because Jeremy even responded to it and said, you should have used my call.
Yeah, it would have been funnier. Yeah. It would have been a better troll for sure.
Yeah, probably should have.
Now, I appreciate the troll here at 3300, and tip my cap, yes, Texas came from behind, beat Houston, 8-run, 9th inning. You can't follow that up with a Tuesday night loss to UTRGV. You can't follow that up with a loss to the Vaqueros of University of Texas Rio Grande Valley. They're a subset school for you. So, like, hey, great troll. Probably would have been better on Monday, though, as opposed to after the fact losing to UTRGV.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And in basketball, different story.
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
Twice. I appreciate the rivalry. It's all great, right? Yeah, they swept the home and home.
Yeah, home and home, and then they didn't get a chance at the conference tournament because we know how that ended.
Yeah,
sorry, Brian.
They beat them in overtime in Austin, and then they beat them pretty handedly in Houston. But, you know, it's fun. And he is right. They got the best of the Cougars that night.
Thumbs up,
Sunday.
Horns down.
Yeah. I do like that Brian's a Longhorn, though. I don't know many Longhorns. Actually, I take that back. My sister graduated from Texas.
Here is a big Longhorn fan.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. I'm an idiot. Like, you're a Longhorn. Sean's a Longhorn. My sister literally graduated from Texas. Like, what am I talking about? Yeah,
well,
that's
you
a bad
your
take.
Sister existed?
I did for a moment. I didn't forget she existed. I just forgot that she was an alumnus at the University
of Texas. That rivalry goes so
hard.
Own it,
apologize, Mr. Doyle.
Yeah, that's my bad. I'm going to I'll take the L. I can see.
Our record of the day.
I'm throwing in the towel. I don't know many Longhorns. Oh, except for my sister. Who do you want to win these play-in series? Not just play-in series, but looking at the bracket of the NBA from a Rockets perspective, though, because like, who cares about Kings, Pelicans, et cetera, et cetera? But from a Rockets perspective, do you have a dog in the fight, Kings, Pelicans? This could be as trivial as like, oh, well, I don't want to see New Orleans win because they're kind of close to us. It's Kings, Pelicans, from a Rockets perspective, who do you want to lose?
I want New Orleans to lose because Brandon Ingram's dinged up. And Zion's not going to play, and I'd like at least playoff games that can be somewhat competitive to watch on nights when they're on that I have time to watch them. And I don't want a limping into the playoff the series Pelicans team that has zero chance to win. At least with Fox and Sabonis and some of the guys the Kings have, I'd like a more entertaining series to watch. And from a Rockets perspective, just like the Eli Wittes guy that you didn't know, the other guy that was
Whitney.
With Eli Wittes was Monty McNair. And Monty McNair is a good friend of mine. He left the Rockets. I think he should have been the guy they chose for general manager right away when Tillman bought the team. But Monty's the GM of the Kings, and he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, he has. Real quick, 3281, I noticed you didn't mention Longhorn football. That was my bad. That's when the replay official was a graduate of Texas, and
well,
he didn't buzz down on the field. Yeah, my bad. I did forget to mention that one.
I mean, the call was so right, they didn't even review it.
Yeah, that's a way to spin it. I don't really see the Rockets' perspective here like you do. I'm much more of a, I don't know these guys as much as you do, Blankers. You worked for them for years, or with them for years. So I don't see the rooting interest here from a Rockets perspective. Like, I don't think that there is one. I'll just say I want the Kings to win. Like, Pelicans are in the division, right? They're in the division.
Yeah,
so
yep.
I'll go from that angle. Bulls Heat.
God, I don't care. Another
well,
one.
I mean, you got Jimmy Butler, who's not from Houston, but he's near
you don't
Houston.
But you don't have Jimmy Butler because he.
Yeah, but you're rooting for against like certain people. You're
he strained the MCL. He's probably done for the year. If
I thought he was
going to
give it a go.
I don't think there's any way he's giving it a go.
I mean, the initial report was that he's going to be out multiple weeks.
Yeah, multiple weeks to the end of the season. So he ain't playing.
He's not giving it a good go in a do-or-die game. He and Zion are both soft.
Well, then, okay, so be it. Zion was soft with 40 and a bunch of rebounds when he went down. And Jimmy played his tail off. But, again, I don't want Miami to win because I don't want to see a team that limps into the playoffs to get hammered.
Okay, so, yeah, I don't think there's much of a Rockets look there. Celtics and whoever they get.
That would be the winner of that game.
Yeah, right. But is there a Rockets interest here at all? I don't see one.
Nah, uh-uh.
Well, Celtics not winning without Ime? I know they haven't had him, you know.
Yeah, that's a storyline.
Celtics maybe. Lose, maybe Jaylen Brown's available in trade?
That's an interesting perspective.
$60 million.
That's an interesting perspective. How about Cavs Magic? Is there you could go first round
Donovan
pick,
Mitchell.
Right?
JB Bickerstaff.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell's an interesting one. If they flame out, Mitchell becomes somebody who's on the trade block. He wants
Magic
to play for Ime. But then you have the Banchero thing. Like, people like to compare Jabari to Banchero. Like, the Rockets passed up on Banchero.
Right.
I mean, that's already lost, though.
But it's
true. It wasn't possible.
Yeah.
The whole time we were told and we were being led to believe that you were going to get stuck with Banchero because Jabari was going to be number one overall until draft night or whatever, the night before the draft. And suddenly everything pulled to 180. And then people were hoping to God they didn't get Chet so that they could get Jabari.
Yeah, I don't think that you can really...
No, I'm not blaming the Rockets for that. I'm just saying the comparison's over.
Some people get annoyed by that on Rockets Twitter. Like, oh,
the comparison's never over.
They didn't have a chance to get Banchero.
If you played the similar position and you were drafted in the same draft class in the top three, I don't think that comparison's over.
Okay, you're right. My phrasing was wrong. The comparison's not over, but I think Banchero's already won the comparison.
Oh, yeah.
Three-seed Bucks, six-seed Pacers. Is there a Rocket tie here?
Well, I mean, if you want to take the whole angle of Donovan Mitchell and you want to believe Stephen A. Smith, if Dame isn't happy and they flame out in the first round, Dame's going to want out. So if you can't get one, would you consider Dame as the other?
Nah.
I'm trying, Jeremy. Nah. I'm trying to ask a question. I'm trying to find a Rockets angle.
Would you?
How old
is
Dame now?
Like 52, I think. He's up there. He's Blanker's age.
Boy, there's another great...
A compliment. That's a compliment. If I'm saying that you look the same age as Lillard, which he's like probably 36, 37, that's actually a compliment.
Anybody really wants Dame the way they used to.
No, I'm with you. I'm not interested in Dame in Houston. I don't want that. He's too old for me.
And, I don't see a Rockets angle in that series at all.
2-seed Knicks, 7-seed Sixers.
Oh, there's a big Rockets angle in this one.
Embiid?
The fans want the Sixers to crap the bed in a lot of ways.
Root against Morey
because of the way he got paid to leave and then got another team, and then you don't want to see him succeed in Philly after he didn't succeed all the way here. Ted Brown.
I like Troll Embiid. I'm a fan of him, but I'm tired of this little Twitter conversation that he's better than Hakeem. So like that's starting to annoy me where like I'm starting to root against Troll Embiid because of the banter on Twitter, which is very, I shouldn't respond that way, but I'm petty. So I'll admit.
No, I respond the same way when I started seeing those videos crop up.
You want Isaiah Hartenstein to hand it to him because you had him and let him go.
Embiid's like doing this little slow crossover lumbering dribble. Hakeem could never dream of doing this. Just go YouTube it. It exists.
Someone did it the night that one of those Sixers fans said
that
Hakeem didn't have that bleep in his game.
I like Embiid. I don't like that little take. All right, 4-seed Clippers, 5-seed Mavericks.
James Harden crapped the bed, period.
See, this one's tough because there's the Harden aspect, but then I don't like
James Harden.
Yeah, but it's Dallas.
I don't know.
But don't have him suddenly play well in the playoffs now after what he did to you every year he played in the playoffs.
It's only the first round. And one of the things I think you're discounting here is there's a healthy population of Rocket fans that like Harden.
I don't think it's as healthy as it was.
I think it's bigger than you think.
No, I think it's still there.
Be more fans that like Harden than like Dallas, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the lesser of two evils. Pick your poison, Harden or Dallas.
It might be.
Yeah, this is the one that has all the Rockets fans' interest either way. They either are rooting for one or the other, but it's going to be pretty passionate.
Assuming the Thunder advance, like we want the Thunder to beat either one of those teams, right?
Yeah.
Smash.
Rockets
sure.
point of view?
Yep.
Even though Thunder is
Although the Thunder's
young
then
team.
Become, yeah, the young up-and-coming team you're chasing.
Yeah. 3-seed Timberwolves, 6-seed Suns.
Got another. Look at all the ex-Rocket coaches and stuff, too.
I don't really like Durant. I appreciate and respect
his
game.
I think Phoenix. I'll say it. I think Phoenix is going to beat Minnesota.
Okay, that's a hot take.
I think I definitely would be rooting for Minnesota. Just, as Jeremy alluded to, like I'm tired of seeing Durant.
I like Anthony Edwards too.
I do like Anthony Edwards.
I want to see the new hotness. I want to see the Timberwolves go through with that.
The new hotness.
What?
I mean, are they centerfolds or are they basketball players? I don't like Rudy Gobert. I don't like Karl Anthony Towns. I do
Anthony Edwards.
I like Anthony Edwards. And Chris Finch, another one of your ex-Rockets assistants, head coach in the league.
I didn't know that was going to be such a problematic slang use of
the new hotness.
The new hot. I love that Anthony Edwards. I tell you, man.
He is
new
hotness. Hey, look.
He
don't
and Minnesota
judge.
Are the
don't
new
judge.
Hotness.
2-seed Nuggets, 7-seed Lakers. Rockets point of view.
What was that sound supposed
it sounded like
to
the Cougar. Yeah. It sounded like the Cougar
yeah,
drop.
Yeah, that was the new hotness Cougar. Of-
that's what it sounded like.
Yeah, whenever
I
see Anthony Edwards, that's the sound effect.
There you go.
Yeah.
He sees him throw down a – he sees him yam on somebody, and that's what he – oh, new hotness. That Edwards is so hot right now, Edwards. Two-seed Nuggets, 7-seed Lakers.
I think everybody hates Nuggets. LeBron and the yeah. Lakers, and they always the Rockets fans go. Hate the Lakers, so there's an easy one.
Yeah, F the yeah. Lakers.
Ooh, that's strong. Yeah, wow. I'm not a LeBron guy. I'm not an Anthony Davis guy either. Like, yeah.
I'm not an Anthony Davis guy either yet because of the fact that he quits and sits way more than he plays, and he could be one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, what do they call him? Jumpsuit or whatever? That's not what it is. Sweatsuit? What do they call
track
him?
Tracksuit?
Nah, it's something suit. Warm, I can't remember exactly. Trey tweets about it all the time. Tyler Hero in Houston says 8089. Eh.
Not at that price.
Eh, yeah, I'm
he good. Ain't a max player.
I'm not on that. Whoever said he's better than Dream is crazy. No doubt. He's not Dream. I like Embiid, but he's not Dream. Zero Houston folk cheering for Mavs, Harden, or now. It's Dallas, but it's not the Cowgirls or the Rangers. Well, I mean, are you saying it's Dallas, but it's not Arlington?
Yeah. You know what I'm
saying? Wheatstraw's nominating Brian for a new hotness car wreck of the day. So
I'll
go ahead.
Well, I'll stand by it. I don't care.
Joe's math is going to win if Alex is there.
I'm already on the nominee list once for forgetting Hannah McNair's name. So
yeah, I forgot. Street Close. That's what it is. Thank you, 9491. Street Close. They call him Street Close because he's always in street clothes and not in the uniform. All right. Yeah. Who do you want to win the series from a Rockets perspective? Jose Abreu, what do we have to do for the Astros to pull the trigger on Jose Abreu? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. If the day comes where they do pull the trigger on Jose Abreu, I'm going to pour some out for Jose Abreu. And whenever I have something in hand, it's Gentle Ben. It all starts with the finest ingredients, classic time-honored distilling methods. Gentle Ben uses their innovative process that removes the harshness that's found in most spirits. You get all the flavor with zero burn. Gentle Ben takes away the bite, takes away the burn. The result, unparalleled smoothness and an enjoyable drinking experience. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben, including Fusel oils. Fusel is the German word for bad liquor. Bad liquor is not in Gentle Ben, never has been, never will be. Gentle Ben offers vodka, gin, straight bourbon whiskey, cask strength bourbon. All are fantastic, all in my rotation. What's in yours? Next time you head to dinner, go to the bar, ask for Gentle Ben. Look for Gentle Ben at the liquor store. Pick up a bottle or two today. Head to the Gentle Ben tasting room if you're looking for plans. They also make it easy for you sports fans if you're going to the Astros anytime soon inside of Minute Maid Park. What's inside? They got a kiosk right to the left of the Crawford boxes. Stop by the Gentle Ben kiosk, pick up some Gentle Ben on the way to your seats, and you can order it straight from the website, gentleben.com. Head there now, learn their incredible story, but also order the juice at gentleben.com. Three parts craft, one part science. That's Gentle Ben.
Loaded, ready, rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.